off in the middle of chapter 607, and we're up to in subsection 8, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so Eric, you want to start on 8?
Although one has already confessed in the quiet Amida.
You know what it means, the quiet Amida? That means when you say it out loud, before that.
This is quite Amida.
All right, quiet, okay? Right, okay?
When the shots reaches
Vidui. Vidui, that's the Al-Khait. It's called briefly Vidui. We call it Al-Khait. Confession. That's called the Al-Khaits in the other. Okay, when the Shatz, meaning the leader of the services, when he reaches the Vidui.
One needs to get up and confess again along with the Shatz.
So, in other words, once he reaches there, you got to get up and you got to do it again with the Shliach Tzibur. Even though you've already done it, quiet, the quiet Amida, you have to get up again and do it together with the Shatz.
In this Vidui, however, he need not specify the sin.
Because earlier we learned that you should specify the sin when you're doing the confession, but during the Amida, when you're doing it together with the Chazan, you don't have to specify the sin.
Just by saying with the Shatz.
Again, the Shatz is the leader of the service, the Shliach Tzibur, right?
Aval anachnu.
Chatanu.
Chatanu.
Chatanu means we have sinned. Aval anachnu chatanu, we have sinned, suffices.
Suffices. And he may be seated.
So you're on, so before he says you get up to do it, but this way you say anach chatanu, and then you can be seated. That's okay. Yet
one should be talking during the
time. Not be talking. Mistake here.
One should not be talking during the time the Shatz is confessing.
In other words, you don't have to say along, but you shouldn't be talking at the same time. Okay, next, 9.
Okay. One.
On.
On sins. Is that on sins one has already confessed the previous Yom Kippur, although they were already forgiven, one may still detail them in his confession this year.
So you already said them last year, but you can still say them this year.
Actually, to mention them again is praiseworthy.
Okay, that's what it said though. So even though technically forgiven, because every year you're considered on a higher level, so maybe you were forgiven last year, but when you're standing on a higher level, maybe there's still a little taint of that, so therefore one should always. Chatasi negdi tamid, it says, my sin is always next to me, even after you were forgiven, yeah?
That's what I was going to ask. If you've already been forgiven, let's say last year, but it's still kind of on your mind, can you ask forgiveness again?
That's what he's saying, specifically. Not only ask, it's praiseworthy. That's what he's saying over here. Okay, number 10.
The Alter Rebbe writes that we never finish the Bidui with the
blessing
of Hakel HaSalcha.
Apparently there is other various different traditions about concluding over there, but we don't do this. Okay, let's solchan. Do another one.
Oh, the custom is that after Mincha on Erev Yom Kippur, all of the community gets Malkus.
Do you know what Malkus is? Malkus is lashes.
Oh.
Lashes. You know, in the time of the temple, there was certain sin that you would get lashes for. So every get a Malkus. These are not real Malkus. These are sort of pretend. Similar to get Malkus. Okay, we're going to see a little bit about it. Okay, 12.
Yeah, what does Salchan mean?
Forgiven, the one who forgives. The God that forgives.
The custom is to confess while receiving the Malkus.
So in other words, when you receive the Malkus, you confess. You say Al-Khait or whatever you say if you do.
Yeah, I guess that you don't need a comma after is...
What?
The custom is to confess while receiving. Even though we pause, there's really no comma after.
Okay. Okay.
The one given the Malkos says, "Behu rachum v'chaper avon."
Etc. There are. Okay. When you say the word etc., do you put two periods, one after the C and then another one for the end of a sentence?
No.
You don't, even though it's etc. Yeah.
Yeah,
it goes.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
There were 39 words corresponding to the 39 lashes.
So you give 39 lashes. There's 39 words, v'hurachum, there's 39 words. So each one of the lashes, you guys say one word. Okay. 13?
The straps used for Malkos can be any width.
Of any width. I added the word of. Right. Of any width. 14?
You do
not.
Okay.
What?
A strap of a calf is used.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, you really, any, you know, we just use a belt or something we have. Okay?
I'll do the next.
Okay.
While receiving the Malkos, one should be bent over. His back to the south and his face to the north.
Basically, one is considered that the north brings, it says riches comes from the north. And it's considered that riches is what causes the person mostly to commit all different kinds of sins. So that's why you should be facing the north. Okay, 16.
Yom Kippur only atones for those who repent and believe that Yom Kippur atones. One who denies this and thinks, what does Yom Kippur help? This one does not receive atonement on Yom Kippur.
So you must believe in Yom Kippur in order to receive atonement. Otherwise, don't come. Okay, chapter 608, yeah?
Just thinking that Yom Kippur could help you be a better person, though.
Yeah, but if you don't believe in it, you know, then it doesn't do it. That's what he says here. Chapter 608, yeah? The order? Sekhus.
One needs to add from the weekday to the holiday, both in the beginning and the end.
Which means you have to start it earlier and you have to finish it later, in the beginning and the end. Okay.
This is a positive Torah command.
To do that, it's a Torah command, okay?
However, the penalty of karet is for violations committed on Yom Kippur itself, not on the addition. Yeah.
Okay, so even though this is a Torah command, but karet does not apply to that, you know. Namely, there's mainly two things, not to do work on Yom Kippur, and also not to eat on Yom Kippur. Yeah, those are the two things. Okay, three. Okay,
I just want to go back.
Yep.
In the old days, they used to actually hit you.
No, even today, we don't hit you. It's like a little tap on the shoulder. It's a make-believe. It's not a real...
Like a little belt?
Yeah, they go a little belt. Yeah, okay.
The addition to Yom Kippur needs to start before twilight.
Because on twilight, it's already, anyways, Yontav, because you don't know, maybe night already. So therefore, it has to start, the addition has to be before, while it's certainly daytime, okay?
Any amount of time one wishes to add is fine. As long as that is in between the beginning of
Shkia
and
Ben Hashmoshes. Yeah, Shkia is when the sun begins to set, and Hashmoshes is the is twilight. So that's me, yeah.
Yeah, Eric noticed as long as, take out the word that and put as.
As long as, okay. No, as that is, no addition. As long as that is in.
Oh, okay. As long as
that isn't. Yeah. As long as that isn't. Okay. Now, no offense, but this is the Shulchan Aruch. It says, talks about, it just would have seemed, you see the next sentence, you know, for.
Women who do not know of the mitzvah to add from the weekday to the holiday, we should not stop them.
I added the words now from eating until Yom Kippur. Because we just learned that, you know, that you're supposed to stop earlier. But some women, he's saying, do not know this, that there's a mitzvah that. So we shouldn't stop them. We should allow them to eat up to Yom Kippur. In other words, don't tell them about this addition. Why?
This is only true if we know for certain they will not listen and willfully continue to eat. In such a case, it is better for them to be mistaken rather than intentional.
So in other words, they think that it's okay to eat. So by telling them, oh, no, you have to stop earlier, and they're not going to listen.
Yeah.
So we say, listen, you know what? Let them think that you can eat, and because they're not going to listen anyway, so you better do that. But this would only, because the way we learn out that you're not allowed to eat is from the pasuk. It doesn't say clearly. The verse doesn't state it clearly that you have to add. That's something the rabbis learned. But this doesn't, as we'll see in number five.
When there is an explicit Torah prohibition, one must protest, even if you are sure. He will not
listen. So in other words, what we said before only applies to a mitzvah which is not clear in the Torah. So we say, well, let them better be mistaken rather than intentional. But if it's an explicit prohibition of the Torah, we don't say that. You must protest them, even if you know they don't listen, because you have to stop them, tell them. Okay?
However, one should only rebuke once publicly. But privately,
should there be one should rebuke one should rebuke publicly only once. That's where it should be. Now, publicly you should do once, only once publicly. Should rebuke.
It makes sense to rebuke once publicly. I
mean, okay, so maybe a comma after the once?
No, after the publicly, I think it's fine.
Okay, but privately?
But privately, one
is obligated
to rebuke.
It's an extra S over here. Yeah.
Even 100 times until the sinner will yell at you to stop.
If he yells you to stop, okay, but you have to keep on going even 100 times to tell him in private. Publicly only once, but okay.
Okay. If the sin was committed in private, one should first rebuke in private. Only if the sinner does not return from his bad ways do we shame him publicly. If the sin was done in public, then you should rebuke immediately in public so as not to profane the name of Hashem.
No, you have to stop. So basically, the public is only used. We don't really want to shame somebody publicly, but if you did it in public, so it's going to be a profaning Hashem because nobody does. That's why we stop. Okay?
One who rebuked his friend and the sinner yelled at him, do not rebuke him anymore for this sin.
Okay.
If one finished eating and was not going to eat anymore that day, one is still permitted to eat before the fast.
Which will happen sometimes. You know, you ate and you had the mind, you're not eating anymore, you're done with the eating, but and then you want to eat, you're still permitted before the fast.
Since this was not expressed with one's lips, just having it in mind does not count as a vow. One's lips, I'm pretty sure it's one apostrophe S.
Okay.
If one verbalizes that he will not eat.
So before we're talking about it, he just had it in mind.
Yeah.
But if you express it, you verbalize it that you'll not eat.
Yeah. Then it becomes a vow. And he is prohibited from eating because of his vow. If one accepts the fast of Yom Kippur without specifically saying that he will not eat, so there is no vow. If it is before Plag HaMincha.
Plag HaMincha, that's 2.5 hours. That's an hour and a quarter before nighttime. Okay.
That acceptance is meaningless.
It's too early. You can't accept the middle of the day. That's too early. It doesn't apply at all.
Could you do a period after meaningless?
Yeah.
If it is after Plag HaMincha, all the stringencies of Yom Kippur apply. He is not allowed to do work, bathe, or anoint, except he is allowed to wear shoes.
That is only till the nighttime. Okay.
It is best to make a stipulation.
To stipulate instead of making.
At the Seuda Hamasekas, that you should be allowed to eat and drink after the meal.
So, because sometimes the people that are eating and they're not having, so technically, even if they did not have it in mind, they should be able to eat because they didn't verbalize anything and they didn't really accept anything. But specifically, have in mind. I'm eating now, I'm finishing now, I will eat or drink later. So you can eat later, so you know, so just, it's best, that's the best way to do it, okay?
On Erev Yom Kippur, one should only eat easily digestible food, such as chicken and fish.
I mean, I guess he's excluding here meat and things like that, okay?
One should not eat items that increase the zeal.
That would be seed, okay? Male seed, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Such as garlic and eggs, even in the morning.
Okay.
Milk and cheese, although they increase zera, can be eaten in the morning, since they are easily digestible, but not during the Suda Hamasekas,
which is
close to the nighttime. In the Suda Hamasekas, one should also not eat items that heat up the body, such as besamin and carcom.
Whatever they mean. I looked it up, the English word for carcom is charcoal or something. I don't know what it is. So it didn't make a difference, okay?
So he will not come to
carry at nighttime. That's a bodily emission at nighttime, so that's what he said, so not to eat those stuff. 9.
One who ate too much on Erev Yom Kippur should not stick his finger in his mouth on Yom Kippur to vomit.
We're afraid he might swallow what he vomits, that's why he shouldn't do it, okay?
One should not eat sesame on Erev Yom Kippur because it will
ruminant. You know, ruminant comes back.
Ruminant
that's
on Yom Kippur.
Is that correct word, ruminant? Ruminant means
comes back up. Yeah.
That's what the Hebrew term here is malagir, is like the animal that chooses
that's
cud.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so that's what it is. Okay, that's the term used in the Hebrew.
Okay, chapter 609.
Atmanas Cham in Erev Yom Kippur. Atmanas Cham means to put away the hot stuff, like to put it away in a cushion, you know, to cover up the food. You leave it for the next day, and on Friday for the next day.
Yeah. Okay. Something some prohibit.
To be matmin. Matmin is also to hide. The chamin, the warm, to one from
Erev Yom Kippur, or after. after.
So in other words, you want to put away, like you want right for after Yom Kippur, so you're putting away, you're covering it up with the pillows or things like that, so that you can use it right after Yom Kippur.
I think the word until is better than the word for.
From Erev Yom Kippur? No, for the purpose of after Yom Kippur. It's not the time. It's from Erev Yom Kippur, so that they can use it for after Yom Kippur.
Yes, until after. All right.
Until after?
I think it.
Until after? No. Better. No, because until just means the time that you're hiding it. For means the purpose. For the purpose of lay, because that's part of the prohibition, is because you can't do it for after Yom Kippur, because it's not necessary for Yom Kippur itself, versus for Shabbos, it's for Shabbos. This is for after Yom Kippur.
Gotcha. This is the custom in our country.
Countries. Plural?
I-E-S.
No Y. I-E-S, okay.
No apostrophe.
And no apostrophe.
Yeah, okay, yep. Chapter 6:10.
We need to honor Yom Kippur by lighting the candles and saying a baracha.
Blessing.
As we do on the other holidays. The blessing is Asher.
Kiddushanu.
Kiddushanu b'mitzvot v'tzivanu. L'ad l'gnei Hashem.
Yom HaKippurim.
Yom HaKippurim.
Kippurim.
HaKippurim. Okay, you can't see it. The words are married like that.
In some places, the custom is to prohibit the lighting
of candles
for Yom Kippur night in a home where a couple is residing.
Out of, they don't want to put light over there at all. There's some people that have that tradition because not to tempt a couple to cohabit at that night.
Sure. Rabbi, after is.
Where?
The word is, there's usually not a comma. Just in general.
In some places the custom is, okay.
Is to prohibit.
Okay, right, okay. Two,
if
yes. There.
If there is a light in the house, you need to put a light on in the room where the couple sleeps.
Okay, because the light will prevent them, because technically you're not allowed to do it in front of the light, so therefore that will stop them, basically. So if they do light, still you need a light in the room.
Even
three?
Communities that do not put Yom Kippur lights in the home, that do not put on.
That do not light. Probably, right? That do not light.
That do not light lights in the home?
No, Yom Kippur lights in the home.
Okay. They would still light them in the synagogue, study halls, and in the dark alleyways, and on the sick.
In other words, so you do light lights, you don't do it at home.
And for the sick.
Here it says on the sick, I don't know what I mean. Okay, let's use the word for.
Yeah. When Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, then everyone is obligated to light also at home. The blessing is Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu l'ad l'gnir shel Shabbos v'shel ha'yom kippur.
V'shel yom ha'kippur.
V'shel yom ha'kippur.
Say the well. Okay.
The custom in all places is to spread nice garments in the synagogue. Also to cover the table at home with a nice tablecloth. And
as
we do on Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
Even though there's no meal or anything else in Kippur, but just, right. Give me a cup.
There is also a custom to increase the candles in the synagogue. It is best to make thick wicks to increase their light.
And again, there's no need for a comma in the first sentence. The custom in all places is to spread nice
light. Yeah, okay. Okay, I thought I learned it from the other day, but I guess I got it wrong. Okay. It's custom.
It is customary to light for every man, adult or minor, a light in the synagogue.
So that would probably mean that all the males, I guess, would put for them, and for the minors to put in the shul, in their honor, you put on one male. Okay? One
light. The custom nowadays is to only make for one who is married.
So that's what you put a light in the shul for them, okay?
There is also a custom to make a neshama light for one's father and mother who have passed.
So you light for them all your side licht you put in.
Right. Passed on?
No, that's good.
If these?
If these lights were extinguished on a Yom Kippur, you cannot tell
a non-Jew
to light them. even to hint to him is forbidden. Furthermore, if the non-Jew on his own wants to light them, we
must protest. Must protest. Hmm.
Next word, Jesus.
We can also
not tell the non-Jew.
The non-Jew is missing an N over here.
To collect the dripping wax.
The Jew is not permitted
to move the wax.
He may not
tell the non-Jew
to move it.
I would put a period after wax and a capital S. Since
where? He
was on the first line.
Okay, wax. Okay, all right.
He may not to protect from a fire. It is customary to put a non-Jew to guard the candles. It's customary to put a non-Jew to.
To guard the candles, to protect from fire. Change around the sentence.
Yeah. Okay. The one whose candle was extinguished.
One whose.
Yeah. So it's WHOSE.
S-E, yeah. Okay.
The one whose candle was extinguished on Yom Kippur, that is a bad sign for him. The fix is to rekindle it after Yom Kippur and let it burn out till the end. One should also accept that for the rest of his life, he will not put out his candles after Yom Kippur, neither he nor anyone else, but let it burn out till the end. Let it burn.
On Yom Kippur, it is customary to put on a kittel, which is a white.
Which is white and clean.
White and clean, so we will be similar to the angels that serve.
Okay, so probably a comma after the word kittel, explaining that it is white and clean.
Good.
Another reason for putting on the kittel is that it is a garment that the dead wear. This will subdue the heart of men to do complete teshuva. Therefore, even a mourner is permitted to put on.
Because like this, a mourner maybe should be like more subdued, but because it's subdued, so you can put in a kittel too.
And women are allowed.
Also
women are allowed to put on a kittel to subdue their heart.
However,
other white garments, so they are likened to angels, which is spelled
A-N-G-E-L-S.
Huh?
Angels is E-L-S, otherwise it's the word angles.
Angels, okay.
They should not wear.
Okay. However, that's good. I should change around the sentence. They should not wear other white garments to be likened to angels, for they cannot be malachim. Mm-hmm. Basically, saying women cannot be malachim. Malachims are male.
Okay. But we need a period somewhere in there.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Also, women are allowed to put on the kittel.
I'll change around the sentence.
Okay. The one who wears a sackcloth for teshuvah purposes must remove it on Yom Kippur. Since Yom Kippur is a holiday, we must honor it
with a clean garment.
Okay, you don't need the comma between purposes and must.
Okay.
All right.
That's it. We're getting up. I don't know. I don't think we'll finish all of Yom Kippur, but we'll try. We'll try.
Monday.
Maybe whoever is here Sunday. I'll do a Sunday, yeah. And they'll see what I can get ready for Sunday. But
Monday,
we'll
Tuesday.
See. There's still. We're only probably. We probably did 1/4.
And by Monday.
Maybe Monday morning we'll do. Yeah, we'll finally do Monday morning. Whatever we have a chance. That's it.
Yeah.
That is what it is.
Learn more than they ever did.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of halachas here. A lot of interesting laws.
And this is all from the Shulchan Aruch.
Rav Shulchan Aruch. I follow the Rav Shulchan Aruch.
And when you say the Rav, which
Rav? Alter Rebbe, Shneur Zalman. That's him up there in the middle. Yeah. Okay. Have a great Shabbos. We'll see you. Okay. Yeah. Have a Shabbos tshuva. Oh, you know what? Let me finish it. Yes, I'll make a bracha krona.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to take it. Thank you. Naftali,
yeah.
I brought the dumpster?
Oh, I
have
the
huh? What did you tell him to put it over there?
Yeah. Well, also, I need to figure out what the coffee.
With the what?
With the coffee. I want to keep the coffee.
No? You want to keep what? It's not there.
I want to keep the Kiddush in Moscow is not the coffee.
Okay.
Well, we have to work out something with the coffee then.
What's the problem with the coffee?
That's where they keep it. Unless I, like,
no, just the weekday. Just the weekday.
Well, I did today. I can't.
No, okay, but they don't need a whole week. They don't need to use it. They just need to take it out. Then for Shabbos, you put it in. What's the problem?
Right. Yeah, I was thinking that. Okay.
It stays out all week. For Shabbos, it gets put in.
Shabbos.
Yeah.
Tully?